This morning, if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke 15. Luke 15. Very familiar passage of Scripture. You've heard a lot of sermons preached from this passage, and I want to just speak to you this morning again from it. And hopefully God give you something that'll be primarily speaking to fathers. Now, if you mothers want to slide over, you can. Some of you mothers operating not only as a mother, but as a father as well. And it'll be good for you as well. You say, well, I don't need it. Well, you might need it next year, so you ought to just go ahead and hang on to it, see. You never know what next year is going to hold. And so I have, over the years, I've had to operate as a father and as a mother as well. And you need to learn all you can. And even after learning all you can, you'll still be things you haven't learned, and you'll find out that you still so much to take in. But if you that are able to stand with me, we'll stand for the reading of God's Word and begin reading down there at verse 11. And the Bible says, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. Now, that's a lot of you guys will hear this in short future. Boy, let me have some money to go out to Friday night. And but here this guy, boy, said, give me a portion of the goods that falleth me. Let me have the car keys. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey to a far country, and there wasted his substance with righteous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went, joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said, how many hard servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. Now some of you have experiencing that right now. You think you're about to perish because you're hungry. Dinner time. I will arise, go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hard servants. And he arose and came to his father, and when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, ran, fell on his neck, kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it. Let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they begin to be merry. Shall we pray? Now, Father, I thank you for this story that you have given us down over the centuries of time. Lord, many, many have read this story. Many have preached on it. And Lord, have been exalted a lot of folks and taught a lot of folks on this story. Now, here this morning, help us, Lord, on this Father's Day. We sure are grateful for all the fathers that are here. And Lord, we do pray and ask you to give each one, Lord, just a victory here today in guiding and directing their family and their children. And we'll thank you for all you do. And Lord, if there's one here today, like the prodigal son, that the Lord's been out to, lost, and not the Lord knowing you, but yet he knows where the father's at. I pray that you would deal with that one's heart. Lord, whether they're lost or whether they're backslidden, that they would return to you. And we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. And you may be seated. this week, I watched the news, as you have as well, and seen all of the things that have taken place in some of our cities across our nation. And I was thinking on this, and I thought, boy, that one, if some things had been different, we wouldn't be going through some things that we're going through. I thought about in this story here, the young man has gone away far, and he's gone away. He's taken that. He's got out into sea. Got out into the world. And he begins to come to himself, sees that the world leave you. And by the way, you can go out into the world. You can get out there and join right in with the things, and you're going to find out that the world will leave you like this fella here. You'll be down in the hog pen. Yep. And that. And so you want to stay out of the world. Stay out of the world. And he said, if I can get home, there's food at my father's house. There's things there. I got to thinking, well, what if that father had not been home? I read in the bulletin here, but the fathers have said to stay home, stay home. In the news this week and the things that have taken place and lives have been lost because simply if a father had stayed home, they wouldn't have had to go through what they've gone through. There would have been a death. If it had not had stayed home, there'd been no drinking, no drunk. Nothing is more discouraging to a child when a dad comes home drunk. There's no more discouraging things to a child and to be able to see a father come in staggering, cussing, swearing, and carrying on. Let me say to you fathers today, if you're doing that, you ought to get out of it. You ought not have any thought about getting in and drinking and carrying on and bringing it home to your children. Wouldn't give you a dime for a man that is going to love the bottle better than he loves his children. So stay home, stay home. And into that, these fellas here, look at what happened by not staying home. By not staying home, the guy got to drinking, got drunk, and he has to have the law called on him. And through the scuffling of that, the law shoots and the guy loses his life. What happens after that? That didn't end right there. He left a family behind. He left children behind. Some of us sitting in here today knows what it is to grow up without a dad. I never had a father. This is my 49th year to celebrate Father's Day. 49th. I never was a time that I ever said Happy Father's Day to my father. I never got the opportunity to be able to give my father a present. Now, I hope you listen up. There's never been a time that I got to go fishing with my father. But God in his providence did something for this old boy that so many do not get. So many kids would be good kids if they had the direction of a father to direct them. Now look at this young boy here, and I see here, yes, he took a leave of that. He got tired of being at home like most of us did growing up. There was a time I never will forget. The boy that was at home, and he come down. He said, Leon, they called me Leon down there. He said, I'm going to run away from home. He said, you want to go with me? I said, no, I got it too good. I ain't running away from home. At that time, at 13 years old, God put me in a family gave me a role model as a father. I don't care who the boy is. He needs a role model. Unto that, at 13 years old, I went to stay with an uncle. And I patterned so much of my life after him, Earl Risen. I did not really know him till I moved in with a paper sack of clothes. And into a house where seven other kids was at. Now, he said into that, he said, you can sleep when we sleep with the boys. You got three in the bed. And he said, we eat at the table. You can eat when we eat. But he said, that's all I can give you. And so I took that deal. But he was one of the greatest examples of a father in the worldly sense of character and love that most Christian dads will ever get. We didn't go to church. But boy, I tell you, he taught us some things. He taught us that cussing was wrong, Riley. You say a bad word in front of him and you're liable to have a fatted lip. We didn't have child abuse back then. They didn't have social workers to come and to arrest you. Now, one of the things that's destroying our country today is that you lose out being able to discipline your children. And I say to you, if you had to sneak out in the smokehouse to do it, discipline your children. He'd take us out to the back house and the smokehouse, and you got what was coming to you. Now, I say into that, but he was a fellow that knew how to love. And I say it here today for us into that. Look at Ephesians 6:4. Most of you dads ought to already know it. You ought to already memorize it. He said this, and you fathers. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture, discipline them, and admonition, instruction of the Lord. And into that, and we have as a dad today, and if you're operating in the position of a dad, to the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, that word is simply, I mean, that there has to be some discipline exercised in that home. Right. Into that. And so Earl Risen, you don't know who he was. He didn't get into the headlines. He didn't make the top story. He was a worker. He worked hard on the railroad. He come in at night. He worked on the section gang of driving spikes and laying rail all day long. Had be of overhauls was their style of clothing back then. He come in. His clothes are dirty. He's tired. But not one time did I ever see him come in mad. Not one time did I ever see him come in and bawl out my aunt. For 4 years, I stayed into that house and slept in that house and lived in that house. In 4 years, I never heard him say one evil word to his wife. Amen. Now listen to that, you men. You ought to take note of something here. There's no reason for all this fussing and fighting among your partner. There's things that goes on, yes. But hey, you don't have to do it. If they fussed and fought, I'm sure they may have had different words, but they didn't do it in front of us. In that home, there was peace. In that home, he taught us the things that a dad ought to teach his children. You got boys, you ought to teach them some things. I was taught how to shoot a gun by my uncle. He bought me my first shotgun that I had. I still have it. Into that, he taught us how to hunt. He taught us how to fish. He taught us how to work. Into that, and could I say to you that out of that, after I left that house, in come another grandson to stay to go to school. And that boy, he stayed there. After him come another grandson and stayed with him. By then, all of the kids in there had been had pretty much left the coop. But today, he's got two Baptist preachers that stayed with him, me and Gary Rogers. Gary pastors Beulah Land Baptist Church. Carl Leslie is a deacon in a church, in a Baptist church in Owensville. He had his one boy that got killed and was a song leader in the church. Did we go to church? In 4 years, I never went to church. In 4 years, I never heard the gospel. But he developed something into our hearts that it was good for us, and that is some character. And so whether that you may not be able to say, hey, I didn't bring my kids up in church, but hey, what do you live in front of them? And there's this boy here, you said he got that. His father had taught him some things. He taught him some things. One, he taught him about heaven. He knew what about heaven. You say, well, was the boy saved? I don't know. Was he lost? I don't know. I know this. The Lord had talked about some people being lost and about the joy of being in heaven when a sheep is found or when a coin is picked up. And that there's joy and happiness. I make him lost and then I make him backslidden and I make him saved and whatever. See, this boy, he got away from God. He got away from his father. But he knew where to go to when he got into trouble. Does your children know where to go to? I thank God I had two boys into that. I'm the most blessed father in this room. I put my blessings up against any of yours. Why? I've got two boys already in heaven. Hey, Dad, is your children going to heaven? I had the privilege under that, both of them. The first, the oldest boy has been gone now for 19 years. And, is it 19? Jared, Jason. Anyway, into that, the Sunday, they died. He got killed on a Monday. That Sunday, we went to church together. That Saturday, he said, Dad, he said, God's doing something big in my life. We prayed together. We sang together. Not thinking about Monday at 27 years old. Things are going good. He's got a wife. He's got a home. He's got a good job. And things are going good. Till some woman got on the telephone and forgot where she was at, crossed the lanes and hit his truck, died in an accident. But hey, what was in that? He knew he knew the Lord.
Amen.
He had a relationship with the Lord that Sunday. He told me, he said, Dad, he said, I'm closer to the Lord than I've ever been. That I thank God for that. I thank God that I had the testimony of one being going out into eternity, knowing that he was saved, knowing that he was a child of God, knowing that he had accepted Christ as his Savior. 3 years later, the youngest boy at 27 died in my arms with a seizure. But that Sunday before that, I got a video of him. He's in the choir. He taught a class. He's here on the altar of praying. He knows the Lord is his Savior. He's into that. He had been living for the Lord. I have something here I've just picked up that he had written. He said, I walked down the stairs. He's 13 years old. He said, I walked down the stairs to the basement door. The rooms were closed. All I saw was the floor. With a loud voice, I heard them say, welcome, my friend, to LBA. I really didn't know what to expect. After a few days, I was correct. It was a lot different from public school. Here, teachers teach us the golden rule. We have Bible study and much prayer. Our teachers show us they really care. Our teachers are really concerned. They sacrifice their lives for us to learn. Our teachers are different. As you can see, Jesus lives in their life, and he lives in me. My Savior died upon the tree. He shed his pure blood to save me. A sinner was I, saved by grace. I cannot wait to look upon his face. Now, he can save you like he saved me. Just trust in his blood that was shed upon the tree. And he will stay in your heart all the way until he called you out that very last day. He knew the Lord as his Savior. I've got a lot to be thankful for. I can thank Kathy back there for being a friend to him at work. He worked at a job, though he had epilepsy, and though he never knew and that when one may come, but he went on to live a normal life. But he loved the Lord. And what I'm saying here is that, fathers, what are you teaching your children? From the time that those boys got home, they was in church. I don't care how little they are, you get them home. Emily has been in church ever since she's just about been here. And she's sleeping now. I can put her to sleep. No, she on it. But what I'm saying is she too young to be in church? No, she's not too young. They already entered into that, get God's blessing upon those children into that. And so this young boy here, this young man, I'm guessing 20 years old, he's gone out. Things have went that bad. He's had his fling of fun. And there is fun in a season, young men, for a little while. Pretty soon, those girls will find somebody else and leave you sitting. Pretty soon, those that you've been buying drinks for will no longer buy you one. Pretty soon, the things that get the food that you have maybe been used to eating, it comes to be swine food. What I'm saying is into that, you get out and you say, boy, and some of you sitting here right now, you're sitting here, you have tasted of the goodness of God, but now you've got a little taste of the world, and I want to get out into the world. I want to show, I want to see what it's all about. I want to be able to see the crowd. I want to hear the rock music. I want to hear the things here. And let me say to you, that's a lead you down a road that will lead you to a devil's hell. That'll lead you to a road that will break you and destroy you. You've got to stay away from that crowd. There has never anything good come out of drugs. There's never good if anything come out of going to places that you've got no business of going.
Right.
Stay in church. Stay home. Dad, stay home. Be home when they do get the need to come home. Be home. And I'm saying here today, the guy, he said, man, I'm going to go home. What if the dad hadn't been home? What if he hadn't been home? But because the dad knew what his place, and because his dad knew that one day his boy is coming back. You got a wayward child, you don't quit praying. Amen. You keep holding out. You keep seeking God. And you keep trusting the Lord. Now, let me say to you, some of you kids growing up here today, some of you may hear, and you may not be able to understand what I'm saying. You may not have had a dad to take you hunting. You may not have had someone that would have, that loved you and cared enough about you to teach you into that. He taught me how to be a leader. A son, and into that, we go rabbit hunting. He said, you get out there and you do the best. You do better than the next guy. And whenever we went hunting, everybody wanted to beat me after by the time I got to my junior year. I could hold my own. I'm saying the father taught his boy some things. He taught him about heaven. He taught him about hell. He taught him about that there is. He said, I know what sin was. He said, I have sinned. Are you listening? Sin will send you away from the Father. Sin will get you down in the hell holes into that. And can I say, the dad knew that boy.
Right. Right.
Dad, do you know your children?
There you go.
Do you know the difference in what they're thinking? Do you know the difference in how they act? Do you know what is going? Do you know what color they like best? Do you know what food they like best? Do you know what that old elder brother? We're not going to say much about him because if you have ever been the older brother, you've been in the elder brother's place. Now this boy was the baby. I was never the baby. The babies always get all the attention, don't they? My brother got all the attention of growing up when I was home. Into that, he got the attention. It was me that had to go out and pick up the coal. It was me that had to sweep the yard. It was me that had to do the work. Why? Because they take care of him. He gets sent back in the house, and he's the baby. Oh, there was time I'd get so mad at him, I would like to choke him. Now, that elder brother's out there on the tractor. He's been working for now forever. How long the boy's been gone? And he's been doing his job. He's mad. But this boy, he comes home because dad is home. Now, could I say to you guys today, your father, you still got kids. Andy, you got kids at home. Mike, you just about have. I mean, Brother Brad has. On that, Brother Mike, that stay home for your boys. Stay home for your children. Let them know where dad is at. When they get away and get away from home, do they know where that dad's at? Be a good example. He taught them to work. He taught them about sin. He taught them about heaven. He taught them about eternity. Boy, I tell you, we used to have some of the best discussions about heaven. And the boys, we talked a lot. When they were young, we didn't want the rapture to come because one hadn't turned 60. He wanted to get his driver's license before he got raptured out. But we had a lot of fun. We had taken that and working. And I don't think dad ever had a better relationship with their boys than I had with mine. I thank God for it. The last words that my oldest boy said on a Sunday night, been to church and getting ready to go home and getting in his truck. And he hugged me and kissed me. Well, we weren't afraid to kiss back then on that. He kissed me and said, Dad said, I love you. He said, you're my hero. Never thought that would be the last words that I'd hear him say. Well, we'd been on golfing trips. We'd go down to South Carolina and we'd play golf, and man, we played hard. We was competitive. I wouldn't let them beat me if I could keep from it. And they tried their best to beat me. And they worked hard at it. Both of them oftentimes would jump on me. Teach your boys to be a little rough. Don't let them grow up with this being a feminine action. I mean, if you have to fight them or whatever, don't let them turn out to be a queer. Make a man out of them. Make a man out of them. But we had into that. We taught him some things. that church was very important. I didn't have to worry about them staying in church. They went to church. Were they perfect? My goodness, no. They had to come under the strap, just like I had to come under the strap.
That's right.
But what I'm saying is today that it's over. One day the dad's going to die. And one day the boy is going to have to carry on. Will they follow your footsteps? Will they take on the character that and the love for God that you had? Will they care about winning souls to Christ? Will they care about that it's important to be in church and serving God? I tell them, don't you ever miss a Sunday. I still tell them that. You're right with God, you don't want to miss a Sunday. You can't wait to get to church. Instill in them that God loves you. Instill into them that heaven is real. Instill into them that God has a place and a purpose for your life. Don't rebel against Him. Today, I don't know your dad, some of your dads, as to what may be going on. I know this, the hope for America is not in politics.
Right.
Hope for America is not in Donald Trump.
Yes, sir. Right.
It's not in Joe Biden. Hope for America is simply in, is for Christians, is for the fathers to stay home, raise your family. You cut down all of the deaths and shootings and the child abuse and the prostitution if dad stay home. Stay home. You bring a child into the world, you got a responsibility.
Right.
You take that responsibility serious. And you set forth that the only way that child will, most of the time will go back to heaven is because of you. I thank God that I've got an eternity ahead for me. I get excited. I get anxious to want to depart, as Paul said, and to be with the Lord, which would be far better. I still got hope to work on. She's still rebellious sometimes. Darrell tries his best to keep her in step, but it's hard for him too. But we thank God. Got Riley sitting down here, Peyton, that when they get grown, I want them to know that they had a grandpa that loved them and that pointed them in the right direction. And what they do with that, I hope today to spend eternity with them as well. I hope today that you're saved. I hope today that your family is covered by the blood. And when the angel passes over, the blood will be upon the lintel of your heart's door. And you get passed over. Let's stand, please.